Welcome to Rooster Radio, a broadcast dedicated to supporting and promoting local artists in the Gaston County and surrounding areas.
So a friend of mine, and Zaid's, is a drag queen. So she hosts it, but then there's a DJ that does the karaoke. And when there's a lapse in singers, she comes out and does, you know. And so last night, because it was my birthday, she did a bunch of like female fronted 80s stuff.
Like Pat Benatar.
And the Pretenders and, you know, and stuff like that. So
did you get up and sing?
No, I don't sing, dude. I the only reason I need a mic when we play is so that I can scream a couple of backup vocals and talk shit in between songs. That's.
Does he really sound like a dinosaur? Because that's what you just sounded like.
What?
He went roar. He sounded like a dinosaur.
Oh. Yeah.
We make noises.
We do.
I mean, that's pretty. You just describe punk rock.
Basically. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Just make noises.
Yep.
Those are my normal speech patterns every day.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess we should start by introducing everybody. So we're gonna go. I guess we'll go left to right. This camera right there is kind of, if you want to address the audience, you want to look there. And introduce yourself. We are talking to Squirt Vile, punk rock band that we'll be playing here very soon. Was it March 15th?
Yep.
Friday, March 15th with, who else on that? We got, is it Longshot Odds, Skewer Rat.
And Trash Candace.
And Trash Candace.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, this lineup, when we were getting it all promoted and stuff, I was like, I love this lineup. Yeah. Trash Candace, Squirt Vile, Skewer Rat, like, this is some gutter punk shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to be a fun show.
It's going to be a fun show.
Long Shot Odds are awesome.
It sounds like Garbage Pail Kid cards.
But introduce yourselves, and then we'll get going.
What's up? My name's Sergio. I'm the guitarist of Squirt Vile.
What up? I'm John. I'm the drummer for Squirt Vile.
I'm Chris O'Neill. I wear a bass for Squirt Vile.
And I'm Zaid Patterson. I am the lead front man for Squirt Vile.
Right on. And you guys played here once before. Mm-hmm. I believe that was a show that Mike Felix put together with King Cackle. And Brandy and the Butcher were phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, we love Self-Made Monsters.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Any chance I get to put them on a bill, I'm taking it. Yeah. I love watching Eddie perform, man.
Mike puts together some killer shows.
He really does, yeah. And so after that, I was really impressed with you guys, specifically your song Fuck That Guy. I fucking love that song.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's a fun one.
A friend of mine got really drunk one night, and it was a couple Augusts ago, like when we first wrote it, and we had a birthday party for my wife on the back porch, and we annoyed the neighbors and her band played. And it was like one of the first times we ever played it in front of anybody. And my really drunk ass friend, Stan Lee, not related to the comic book guy, comes up to me and he's like hammered out of his mind. He goes, "That's the perfect punk rock song."
I mean, he's kind of right. Yeah. it really is very punk rock. Fuck That Guy.
Yeah.
But after that show, we had a dialogue going. We're like, let's put something together. And the stars kind of aligned to put together this pretty killer lineup. Let's take it back. Like, talk about how Squirt Vile became a band, how you guys all know each other, and what you were doing before in the scene.
All right, so like my background is in theater. It's what I studied in college, theater and arts administration. And my day job is I'm the sound guy, technical director for Winthrop University's music department.
Oh, right on.
And so through that, I had met Zaid.
Yeah,
and I ran a classical theater company for 23 years, and Zaid was one of my
doing
actors.
Like Shakespearean.
Yeah, Shakespeare and Marlowe.
Was that in the Charlotte area?
Yeah, Rock Hill and Charlotte. We performed at Spirit Square before they tore it down.
Okay.
Because anything good, you know, around here, they tear it down.
Yeah, especially in the arts, they do.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, but like when I was in high school, I played in garage and basement bands, and you know, we did just house parties and stuff like that. And I put the bass down for a while. And so there's a promoter down in Rock Hill, a guy named Mike Gentry, and he plays in two bands. He plays in a band called The Telepathetics and Motel Glory. Both really great bands, very different from one another. And he's a bass player too. But he's the front man for Telepathetics. And he does a thing every so many years whenever he gets a wild hair. It's called Band from a Hat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And musicians that aren't in a band or they're in a band and they want to explore other shit, you literally write your name down and what instrument you play, and they pick teams like gym class. And I got put in with a guy, our original drummer, Sergio, and two other dudes who never showed up.
So to keep people so no one gets left behind in the story, there was this event going being put together,
right.
and the idea was you got all these musicians that are looking for people to play with,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. and you're throwing all your names in the hat, what you do, and they're drawing names saying, okay, well, this is Chris, he plays bass, and right. They draw another name, this is Serge, he plays mm-hmm. guitar. Mm-hmm. So you put together a four-piece,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you yeah. guys all decide on a date to practice,
yeah.
And mm-hmm. two of you show up.
Yeah. Yeah. The other guys, well, three of us
well,
did.
Three. Yeah, our original drummer.
Our original drummer, yeah. Thomas, and Sergio and I showed up, and the other two never responded to Facebook messages.
Okay.
And so I knew Zade could sing, and we needed yeah. a singer because mm-hmm. the you know. And then Thomas decided it wasn't his thing after about a year, I guess.
Yeah.
And about so, 2 years.
Maybe yeah. two. And so because
just like a drummer does.
Right. Yes. So and, well, so what happened was
you never count to four, man.
The object was in you come back 2 months later and you do a 15-minute set. Damn. And it could be covers, it could be original, whatever.
Yeah.
So we had two covers worked up and two originals that we wrote. And the week before the showcase, the world shut down because of COVID.
Yeah, full timing, man.
And a friend of mine owns a recording studio, and I don't want to dominate all this, but a friend of mine owns a recording studio in Fort Mill, and he had a huge main room where we could distance. So we rehearsed. And that's all we did for, you know, that,
pretty
that
much real
thing.
Right.
Basically,
wrote songs, rehearsed, and so. Then when everything got lifted, we started playing out.
Right on. Now, how did now when Thomas left, how did you come into the picture? Did you know about this? Were you recruited?
Actually, I was friends with Sergio for quite some time before me joining Squirt Ball. We had a different band starting called City Lies Desolate, and it was me, him, and it was like three others.
Yeah.
Yeah, three other friends of ours, and I think, what was it, like a year or two? Like nothing really got done?
We did 2 years straight of just trying to figure out songs, trying to do this, but we never really progressed anywhere. We never really got anything recorded, and everything ended up on bad terms. Me and him weren't on speaking terms for a while, actually.
Yeah.
But we were young then. We were, what, very early 20s, stuff like that.
Just
we were
20s
we were still
stuff.
Children at the time,
still
right?
Kids.
And, you know, the years went by, you know, we kind of let it go. We kind of had some contact here and there, every now and then. And so things were cool by then. Whenever Thomas had left, he's one of the best drummers I knew. He's just very hard to get a hold of.
Darling, too kind.
Shut up. he's just kind of hard to get. He's just hard to get a hold of sometimes.
I have a very bad track record of not answering my phone at all.
You tell me that.
I just don't want to.
So I left him a message, saying, "Hey, we kind of need a drummer." By some miracle, he responded.
Yeah.
So we told him a date, an audition. We sent him. Our EP at the time, other songs that we had been working on. We gave him a couple of weeks because we were having somebody else come in and audition for the drummer part. That other guy ended up bailing out, and basically our schedule was free and it was just going to be me and Chris. So I sent him a message saying, hey, do you want to quote-unquote audition today? We'll obviously go easy on you because you've only had a day to learn this. That wouldn't be fair. Do you expect to learn? Just basically just come out, jam out, stuff like that, mm-hmm. see what's going on. You said, okay, cool. So I came pick you up. We gave you a shot. We jammed out. We tried going through the songs best we could, and you picked it up really fast.
Yeah.
It was actually
yeah.
incredible.
Yeah.
And so I talked to Chris. We're like, if you want in, you're freaking
yeah.
in.
Yeah, he
and
basically learned our half-hour set in one night.
Nice.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you found like a place for your skill set with this band?
Yes. Yes. This band gives me like the exact freedom that I want to actually like just do whatever I want on the drum set and make it work.
Yeah.
And it makes the song so much fun, and the energy that these guys have on stage on top of outside.
Oh dude, you ain't lying about that.
You know, the funny thing is like yesterday I was going through videos of to create reels for the Rooster. Mm-hmm. And one from your show just popped up on my phone that I had saved. I was like, hey, that's, we're interviewing. Okay. It was just weird. I just thought that was funny because the energy, because that's what I recognized. Yeah. I didn't even, then I looked and I saw you.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh. But yeah, the energy is definitely there.
Yeah.
That's the idea.
We're here. It's funny when you guys played, you were almost late because you work at the Ren Fest.
And
you showed up and you were still dressed in your Ren Fest car.
Oh, yeah, it was that
When you got here, I didn't know that. So I was like, is this a costume? Like,
is this part of the
bit? Is this part of the show or what? But it worked so well. And then the very next weekend, my wife and I go to the Ren Fest and we're walking by and it's like, oh, There he is. Wearing the same costume.
Yeah, I know you.
It's so cool.
Yeah.
So are you full-time artist?
I guess I'm just in that boat of always contracting. I mean, my day job is working on a food truck down in Rock Hill.
Oh, right on.
But over the past couple years, like,
shout out to Kybe Kybe.
Yeah, Kybe Kybe food truck. But
what's it called?
Kybe Kybe. CIBI.
And what type of food is it?
It's got fried chicken sandwiches, burgers, rice bowls, Philly cheesesteaks. Like, we make everything.
All right, we need to talk after the show because we need food trucks.
One
of our festivals. But anyways, so you do the food truck thing during the day, and you're pretty much out every evening.
So for now, I've been doing before I was doing the food truck, I was working other restaurants and stuff. But I had basically a full time job as a children's CD singer. So I was like the technician that would do the audio for like. I would be the guy that would fill in the blanks of kids' names for birthday CDs and stuff. So it's like, happy birthday, Timmy, Jimmy. Yeah. And I did that for about 7 years, like every day. And I just went mad. But it trained like my singing voice, basically.
Yeah.
And I did that for 7 years. But then I was also contracting as just like I would do like commercials, like, AT&T, like that kind of
right.
Voiceovers.
Did you want to like be in radio or anything when you were younger? Like
I always wanted to do animation and cartoons. Like I
voice work.
Yes, like I have a very my voice match is either Tom Kenny or who did Futurama? The guy that does Fry. The guy that does Fry from Futurama. Good news, everyone.
It's not like, Icarus area, is it?
Billy West, right?
No, it's Billy West.
Billy West, that's it.
So yeah, I have like a very...
Ren and Stimpy.
Ren and Stimpy, yeah. So I have a match for that. So I can do like a good high voice and low voice and stuff like that. But I would do contract work, like random gigs, where it's like, hey, I need you to do a commercial for me really quick for like a bar or something like that. And I would do that, get the money, and then just not hear anything for another 2 years until someone's like, hey, I could use your voice again. And then, so very, very, like, starving artist, basically.
Yeah. Well, I several years ago, I started to get annoyed that voiceover work in movies, there was kind of like a shift in the early 2000s where they were just giving all that work to people that were like, already movie stars and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
and they didn't know.
You're putting all the voice guys out of work, man. Like,
yeah. Well, and it was really interesting.
Like, how do ugly people get rich?
Right. Yes. Right. Wear a mask.
Well, it was really interesting. Like, I actually stopped doing voiceover right when COVID happened, and it because well, one, people were like, "Oh, I get my cousin to do it," and I was just like, mm-hmm. like I would say I have like trained, like I trained under one of the girls that does one of the Care Bears right now. Who lives up in Charlotte.
I've seen that girl featured on like the paper. So I saw an article on her.
Oh, Lisa Biggs.
Yeah, it's not too long ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was trained under her and like a couple other workshops and stuff. And I was like, I am a professional. I have put in enough money. I have been told I'm professional, so I should get paid as such. And everybody that I was doing these little gigs for, they were like, I don't know, man. I don't know, man. Now I'm thinking, and it's like, okay, I'm going to stop. COVID happens, and everybody starts doing voiceover.
Yeah.
And it's just, it gets oversaturated, and I'm like, so these guys, I was like, I think I'm doing more of the stuff I love with, like, voiceover, especially with, like, all the songs that we have. Like, my voice changes so much with these songs to where I'm like, this is voiceover work for me, and this is actually, like, the passion that I wanted to do in
fulfilling.
All of it.
Yeah. It's more fulfilling.
Exactly.
And what about the rest of you, like, with this project, with it being such, like, a happenstance kind of way that it came together, does everyone kind of have, like, a certain level of commitment that, like, we just love to do this?
Yeah.
Or are any of you looking at it more professionally? Kind of where's your head at when it comes to what? Because I could see you guys doing this for the next 20, 30 years, you know, playing gigs all over town.
Right.
You know, I could see you guys becoming a staple in the punk scene. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you know, my goal always was, and I think from the very beginning I told, you know, like Sergio and like, if we get a couple of gigs and it never happens again, we'll have done it, right?
Right.
And then...
That's funny. That's how I feel about this place.
Yeah. Right.
We're out of business. At least we did it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And we got gigs and people seem to like it. And like how we broke into Charlotte was, all right, so... I had a mutual friend with Jamie Starks at Tommy's Pub.
Tommy's,
right?
Yeah.
And I had been introduced to Jamie and you know, he and I hit it off. And they used to do, they still do like a open mic night, but they used to do like a fully outfitted, like with a drum kit and all that.
That's what we do on Wednesday.
Yeah. Year, yeah. So we just invaded it and played three songs. And Jamie was like, holy shit, you know, you guys need to come and play. You know, and so that's how that kind of got started. And like one of the cool things about the punk scene outside of the like the theater scene is so ego and all this other nonsense. Mm-hmm. People will stab each other in the back to play a bit part in a play, you know. The punk scene around here, and it sounds so cheesy, but it's really supportive, you know? And like you play with a band and they're like, wow, you guys were great. Like I got a show next month. Do you want to play, you know, and that kind of stuff. And so we've been all over South Carolina, you know, down to Ridgeville and Columbia and Charleston, you know,
Beach gigs are fun, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. I can imagine.
Especially in the summertime when that's a lot of fun. And, you know, Charleston has the College of Charleston there. So there's already kind of like a thriving young adult scene down there, nightlife scene.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, so it kind of took off, I think, maybe a little. I mean, it's not like we're selling out rooms around, you know, I don't want to misrepresent, but it seems like it just took off. You know, and like we played last Sunday with a band from the Dominican Republic.
Nice.
And they were so good. Freaking amazing. So good. And they're like, come down, come to the DR, tour Dominican Republic, so play cool. Miami with us, you know, and stuff like that. We're like,
we'd love to.
Sure. Man. You know, I have to get a passport.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that, you know, the guys from Self-Made Monsters, you know, we played with them once and now it's like, you know, they, you know, we want to play with them. They want to play with us.
Real recognizes real.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To be, you know, cheesy or cliche about it, but real recognizes real. And especially in the punk scene, you can't fake punk.
No. It's like one really funny thing is that, when we were doing that show recently, one of the bands, well, two bands that I'm in contact with right now, American Theory, they've played here.
They are so fucking good.
Yeah.
They are so good.
Them and Noir Noir. So I the Ren Faire, I work with the drummer for Noir Noir because we're both in the Belly Dance band.
Yeah.
And he came out and saw our show for the first time, and he was like, you guys are silly. I would play with you guys. He's like, y'all need to book with us because y'all are really fun. Maybe not the same style, but it's just a fun combination to where you're opening people up to this new variety of like music where you have this new alternative and then you have like this old style comedy kind of feel to it. And it's like, it's for everybody. And it's like, it's a really good, like, it's kind of like back at Winthrop when we used to book like these big bands and stuff like that coming through, we would always open with a comedian. So we'd have a comedian open for a band, so you'd get this really interesting variety of entertainment.
Maybe that's what we need to do to get people to come out for comedy.
Get punk comedians.
I mean, when Ray popped up here last year at Rooster Olympics and did his little thing, that was like the most refreshing like break in between the bands.
Yeah. We had it really was. What she's talking about is last year we had our first big fundraiser, Rooster Olympics, and comedian Ray Money is the guy who does our comedy shows, and we were doing monthly comedy shows, and he showed up with his wife and kids just to hang out, and we were talking. I was like, "You want to go up? You want to go do 10 minutes?" And he's like, "Fuck it, I'll do it."
Yeah,
and he did, and it was like everyone loved it.
They did.
He engaged everybody.
Yeah.
He was funny, and it was like a nice layer to the event that we hadn't even thought of.
Right. Well, it's vaudeville.
Basically. Right. Yeah. Right. But then, like, we do the comedy shows once a month, and we struggle to get people to come to comedy shows. Yeah. I mean, even when we make it free, we still can't pack a room out for comedy. I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's the trick. Maybe we need to start putting comedians on punk shows. Yeah.
Well, and you know, and the thing is, like, I don't know that we've ever like set out to like we're gonna write a funny song.
No,
right? Mm-hmm. But we don't take ourselves very seriously, right? I mean, I guess we take the music seriously.
Musically, seriously.
You can take the craft seriously. Yeah, you can take the craft seriously without taking
right. Yeah. And the thing is, like, and like you can tell who wrote the lyrics to our songs. By like the angry songs I write, and the sillier ones Zade writes. So I show up with like, you know, the like lyrics for like Die Motherfucker, and then fuck that guy.
I wrote that one.
Right?
You did?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh boy,
I was having a bad day.
I was like, hang on.
Yeah,
but, I've seen this before.
But we kind of take the Doors attitude of like we write.
Oh, yeah, we all. Know.
Yeah. I was just about to ask.
Contribute to everything. Yes.
Yeah, I was just about to ask what the process was like because that's always interesting, especially with like you know with punk bands, you know, like a lot of what I've seen is there's a driving force. There's a guy or a girl who, or a woman or a man, whatever, that writes most everything. But for the sense that I'm getting is that you guys all come to practice with something to
work on. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And with the creative process, the way it kind of goes is usually the way it starts off is either me or Chris will usually come with a riff. We usually come with a sort of rhythm, a sort of pattern that we can follow along, and we either record it or bring it to a live practice and we let everyone hear it. And if everyone feels it, we'll be like, okay, let's go from here. We'll either keep playing it on a loop, so John will be able to get a feel for the drums, how that would go down. Zay will also get a feel for the song itself.
I'll mumble like things. I'm like,
the freestyle.
Right, try I'll like freestyle try, like, nonsense, basically.
Yeah, build like a melody, basically, how you'd want your vocal lines to be structured. And we kind of go from there. We repeat it, and we kind of get an idea. We record it to also make sure we don't forget it.
Yeah.
We'll go back on our own time as well, make sure we iron out. For example, I would iron out how I'd want to play my lead, whether I add extra syncopations here and there, how I'd want my solos to be laid out. Chris would also be able to practice his lines. John can also, in his head, practice it as well. You know, how if he wants to add an extra fill here, wants to add an extra roll, Zay will actually go back and write out lyrics to the song that he would want, and that's how the creative process goes. So usually one person will bring in something, but we all contribute. Right. It's all collaborative effort, so that way we all are contributing, so we don't feel like it's just one person writing everything, and everyone else is just basically doing what we're told, basically.
Yeah.
I'm not a professional musician by any stretch of the word, but it seems to me that you're when you have more vested in the product, you know, you put more effort into it at your live. So like there's more of a connection to it when every single one of you have contributed something to this. And it's, I don't know, it just makes for it's probably what makes your show so good. It's like all of you have contributed this, all of you have put this work and effort into it. And it's like, you know, like you said, you're going to do your solo, you're going to shine. when you're doing your solo on stage, because you wrote it, you know, these funny lyrics, you know, you're making faces mm-hmm. at the crowd, you're pointing and stuff. It just makes for a more fun right.
yeah.
performance,
yeah.
you know what I mean? Right.
I mean, we've written songs by accident.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
like, and it usually happens after we've played a gig.
Like prolapse.
And John, yeah, well, that one. John has to put his drums back together after we've played a gig. Yeah. And Sergio and I will be just dicking around, and I'll be playing something, or Sergio will be playing something, and we look at each other, and it's like, what are you doing?
And you know, it's like, do that again. I like that. Yeah, I like that. Do it again.
And then all of a sudden, like, we start jamming on it. He finishes putting his drums together and comes in.
While I'm building that drum set, right. I'm listening to what yeah. these two are doing. I'm like, hold up. Let me hurry up really quick.
And then like, sometimes they can't make practice, so what we'll do is we'll video it mm-hmm. and send it to him, yeah. and he comes to the next practice with, like, lyrics, you know, or the start of lyrics, you know. And it's like it's very organic, not to sound like, you know, some artsy fartsy, but
that's what it is. Yeah. That, and that's, it shows, like I said, it does show in, especially in your live performance. And, you know, I listen to, you know, anytime before I book bands, if there's material out there to right. listen to and watch, I do that. I, you know, sometimes it gets, difficult to, you know, listen to it all or watch it all, but, you know, when I'm in the car, when I'm hanging out mm-hmm. with the kids and stuff, I'm listening to these bands, and I don't know, it's just, it makes me help better decisions on putting shows together, sure. because yeah. you can kind of tell, like, who's taking it seriously and who's not. Right. I mean, I'm not going to single anybody out, but I've heard some absolute shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've gone to, you know, some band reaches out or some artist reaches out, and I go listen, I'm like, no, this is not yeah. good. Yeah, and I try not to focus on negative stuff anyway, right. so I just kind of move on. But with you guys really, really took me by surprise. I ain't gonna lie. When I first heard about you guys, reached out, I was like, Squirt Vile. My initial reaction was, are they taking this seriously?
Right.
Like, because when you hear, like, there's a lot of fun bands with silly names, but when you hear a silly name like that, you're like, you know, like Skewer Rat, you know, are they taking this seriously?
Yeah.
So you go listen. Because if anything, it piqued my curiosity.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I'm like, what is this? And much to my surprise, I'm like, oh, these guys are fucking awesome. So,
Well, thank one you. Thing I always thought was funny when Chris first asked me to get on here was, I loved how Squirt Vile is a musical joke.
It is?
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's the thing. First of all, we didn't pick the name.
We didn't.
You're assigned the band name at the Band from a Hat. Okay. Now, you're allowed to change it if you want. But, all right, so, I, like, me being a theater guy, and not to get crazy, but, like, I'm a huge fan of a playwright named Bertolt Brecht.
Okay.
And he collaborated with a composer named Kurt Weill, German, W-E-I-L, but it's pronounced Weill. And they wrote the Three Penny Opera together, right? So Squirt Vile is a play on words on his name.
Okay.
And so that appealed to me because the theater angle, you know, and all that. And it's kind of gross, right? At the same time, you know. And, you know, so we decided to keep the name, you know, and, you know, because we could have come up with something, but we just felt like it fit, you know, because mm-hmm. we're writing songs, you know, and like some, you know, we have songs that we haven't played in a while, but like, you know, we have a song about Karens. You know, and that Zade wrote, I don't think we played the dude either. I have a ghost that lives in my house, and so we wrote a song about him, and we call him the dude. And
we couldn't think of an actual name for him, so we said, right. let's call him the dude. I can't think of nothing else.
Well, and, you know, he's really chill. You know, he doesn't cause trouble. You know, he abides.
Yes. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
I was getting there.
Yeah.
I was getting there. I was going
to
make a white Russian joke.
I was like, to be called the dude. He literally really seen the walls
in blood red run.
Yeah, no, it doesn't do
just
that.
Just don't even bother.
Like, I know.
Yeah, your house now.
I think Sergio has seen him.
I think house, I saw him for like a split
you
second.
You only see him for like a split second.
Yeah, because I saw something.
I need to get some of y'all shrooms.
Yeah, he...
That he looks like
a Confederate soldier, and he comes out of our bedroom and walks across the hall into our practice room.
He just likes to watch
at the house, you know. And then every once in a while, he'll show up like at the door to our back porch. It's weird, but anyway. So we wrote a song about that because like I've been playing with like a kind of a bluesy riff, and we started playing it, and that's how
you're
that
right. I remember, about. Yeah, you said you structured the 12 bar blues,
yeah.
And so I saw the notes you were playing, and so I just follow along with you,
yeah.
And
yeah.
I threw a couple of more ethereal, more time based effects on the through some chorus, some reverb on yeah. there to give it more of like a ghosty ambient yeah. kind of thing. And we just built it from there,
yeah. It was kind of like a surf riff in a 12 bar blues pattern, and then Sergio started playing over it, and then we Zade wrote
that's,
lyrics about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and that go ahead.
No, I was just no, I was thinking that out in my head, that's all.
I mean, that's something else that you guys are different, that you bring to the table, rather, is not a lot of punk bands are doing leads.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. Not a lot of punk you know, rockers are doing. There are some. There are, but you just yeah. don't see it as often.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, you've heard
him
play. Not,
yeah, at least, yeah. yeah.
Please,
yeah.
don't feed my ego.
No, I know. But, you know, if you got it, use it.
Well, I mean, it's almost kind of like a throwback to the early punk days, because I mean, back in the day, you know, that was kind of the standard, and then over time, punk songs just got, well, they've always been kind of short, but they're kind of shorter now, less lead, but, and you can see this Friday, March 15th, here at the Rooster, come see Squirt Vile.
Right.
Sorry, I got to keep throwing that out.
Yeah, right.
It's Friday. The 15th, it's going to be an awesome show. Do you want to talk at all about some of the other bands on the bill? Have you had a chance to play with Longshot Oz?
We played with Skewer Rat, and we've also played with Brian's other band, Harriet Rip, a couple times. Mm-hmm. They're great. Actually, Brian was at my birthday party last night.
Nice.
Him and his wife Priscilla. You know, they're good folks, and
they are. They're very supportive. Yeah. Very much in the community.
And what's funny is, after Thomas left our band, our original drummer. He was the original drummer in Skewer Rat.
Oh, okay.
And that, whatever. But, yeah. So, and Jessie's great. Their singer.
Yeah, Jessie.
You know, she's really good. Mm-hmm. And we played a show with them at Bart's Mart. I've been itching to play with Longshot Odds for a while, you know, like getting us hooked up with them. And so I was psyched when Corey said he could do it, you know.
Because
he's been supportive without ever seeing us. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Well,
so,
Longshot Odds had been trying to get in here for a while.
Yeah.
They had sent me information a while back. And, you know, most of the punk shows that we've had have been put together through, like I haven't put them together. Either a promoter or somebody in the band have kind of brought a bill. I mean, like, I want to do these four bands. So this was one where I actually worked with you guys to kind of build the roster out. So, you know, given Longshot Odds this opportunity, it made me really happy to finally have a spot to put them on.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not as easy as you think it is to give the opportunity. You know, sometimes you got to make a decision to, you know, mm-hmm. you got to put somebody on the back burner because there's just not an opportunity.
Right.
And you don't want to force that kind of thing, because what I've learned in the last, you know, little over a year, almost year and a half, is when I've tried to force something, a bill, mm-hmm. the show just doesn't hit the way you want it to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's not a knock on any of the bands that's ever played here. It's me trying to crowbar something in never works. So I've learned to kind of let these things play themselves out and happen organically.
Yeah.
Again, to use a frou-frou word.
Yeah.
But this bill came together in a way that was like, finally – I've got this thing I can be proud of to put out there. And I hope that you all come and check them out, because this is going to be a really fun punk show.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't seen Longshot Odds live yet, so it'll be my first time seeing them.
But we've seen Skewer Rat.
Yeah, we've seen the rest of you guys. So this is going
to
be...
See, we haven't heard Trash Candace yet. So I'm looking forward to that. You know, I'm looking forward to see them, because I love new bands. I think we were talking about this the other day. One of the coolest parts about being in a band and playing with bands you don't know is all of a sudden you got new friends.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like playing with this band from Dominican Republic, you know, like my bass rig went down and those guys went back out to their truck and brought out their bass head. And then when it wasn't, the head wasn't the problem. They went out and unpacked their bass player's Ampeg refrigerator 810 and brought it in so we could play our show, you know? How it is, you know?
Well, that's the community aspect of doing what we do that drew me to this, doing this for a living and being a part of this scene. It makes me really proud, makes me really happy. It's almost like a vindication that like I made the right decision, you know, because, you know, before I did this, I heard a lot of people talk about how disenfranchised and how fragmented the Charlotte scene was and how it got real competitive. And it did. It yeah, did. That is what happened.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, through all this, and I don't, this may have been ego, I don't know, but I was like, well, I can change that.
Yeah.
You know, I can fix that. Like, you know, just you building a place like this to give opportunity. Like, if you're going to have a selfish, egotistical, you know, mindset, you're not going to get the opportunity here. Building the community, it's just different. It's the same thing I've been telling people about the downtown area here in Gastonia.
Yeah.
It's just different now. Yeah. It's a different energy. Yeah. It feels different. It's just not the way it used to be. It has changed.
And you know, and it's funny because, like, we live in Rock Hill, and, you know, we're the fifth biggest city in South Carolina and all this nonsense. And
Sergio's face.
I'm saying, if it wasn't for this guy, Mike Gentry, there would be no scene in Rock Hill. He is the scene in Rock Hill.
I don't know what's his, like, does he own a club or what does he do?
He used to work for the Rock Hill York County Art Society.
Okay.
As a gallery director, and now he's Winthrop University's gallery director.
Okay.
He's a visual artist by education, bass player by love, and he just started promoting shows. He started out at like a sushi restaurant in Rock Hill, and it kind of grew. And when he worked for the Arts Council, he had access to the courtroom at the Getty Center. Which is kind of a cool venue. It's the old federal courtroom in Rock Hill. Mm-hmm. And it's some nights he has 10 people there. Some nights he has 100.
All of them.
I feel that.
Yeah. And, you know, like any venue, really. Yeah. But, you know, and so I've always thought, like, how is Gastonia cooler than Rock Hill? You know, like, there was a guy here for a while, had like a whole production facility, like in one of the old buildings, you know, and as I, you know, without being that guy, I do some acting too. And I was in a series of TV commercials that shot in Gastonia, and I was in an independent film, like a high budget independent film that shot in downtown Gastonia. And I'm like, Rock Hill doesn't do that, you know? And, you know, I mean, I live in Rock Hill on purpose, but, you know.
Taxes are cheaper down there.
Oh, God, taxes. Cigarettes, too, if you, you know, gas, you know, all that. But
my parents just moved to South Carolina. They moved to Blacksburg.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Right.
But, no, I mean, it's, you know, it takes, first of all, it takes courage to carry this type of torch. Mm-hmm. You have to have courage to do it, first of all, and then you have to be doing it because you want to and you love it. Like that's you know, one of my biggest gripes with, like, your arts councils and your art societies, and like, they're all publicly funded for the most part.
Yeah, absolutely.
And in order to keep an organization like that afloat, you have to be willing to play the political game. You have to play politics. Oh, yeah. I mean, you know this. I'm not telling you anything new. You work for a university.
Yeah.
You can't go out there and say some wild shit and not have a repercussion.
Right.
A consequence for your action. Yeah. But I can say whatever the fuck I want.
Yeah.
I don't really give a shit what the mayor or the city council or anybody. I don't. They're not giving me money.
Right.
Now, you want to help me pay this loan off? We can talk about what I say on the microphone.
Yeah.
But until that happens, you know, and I don't mind. Like I said, again, it goes back to courage. I don't really care.
Yeah.
You know, like, what I'm doing is awesome, and I know it. And everyone that's involved is really enjoying it.
Yeah.
So, you know, until that changes, we're going to keep doing this.
Right.
And again, arts are one of the last things to get funded.
Oh, yeah.
They're one of the first things to get stripped down. Yep. So you need people that, I mean, we all do this because we love it. You need people that love it, that are going to say, you know, consequences be damned, fuck it, we're going to do this.
Yeah.
You know, and fortunately, since we've been open, I've managed to create foster some relationships with some of these people that do work for these organizations.
Right.
And the conversations are now being had of, like, well, how do we, you know, you've got 15 different organizations trying to achieve the same goal, doing it different ways.
Yeah.
How do we get on, like, a united front and, like, make this matter more? Mm-hmm. And it goes back to what you said, how is Gastonia cooler than Rock Hill? It's not that it's cooler than Rock Hill, it's just there's more people that care about this right now.
Right.
And hopefully we can keep that going.
Right. No, and it's great. And, you know, without speaking out of turn, we love this place.
Yeah.
Your place.
Thank you.
You know, we had such a great time playing here.
Yeah.
and, you know, sound guy, everything, you know, from aerial greetings at the back door to, you know, the nice big stage and, you know, and all that stuff. And, you know, you guys treated this, you know, really well. And, you know, we had a great time here.
Yeah, I'd say out of all the places we played, your sound guy's the best we ever played with. That was crystal clear, Chris. I'm like, oh, my God, yes.
I can hear everything I need to hear in the monitor the way I need to hear it without, like, being a dick, you know.
Took the words right out of my mouth, man.
You know what? That's what I think the point is like, all of our sound guys are musicians themselves.
Yeah.
Right. So that, I think, makes a big difference.
Yeah. Yeah. It does. Well, that and they don't have ego. I have had sound guys work here that have ego, and they only worked a handful of shifts before I moved on.
Right.
Because, I'm not willing to let us develop a reputation for treating anybody in a negative way. You know, there was this one guy in particular that was, he was a pretty good sound guy. He was pretty good, but he was such a dick to the performers. And I'm like, what? Why are you doing that?
Yeah.
Like, what are you getting out of that?
Yeah.
Right.
Like,
right.
Aren't we all trying to like have a really good time here? Aren't we trying to make each other look good and sound good?
Nobody's getting rich. That's what it's all about. Right? Yeah. Nobody's getting rich, so you might as well have fucking fun. Yeah.
None of us making stones money.
It's for the love and the fun of it. Yeah. You don't have to be.
You do it because you enjoy it. Because if you don't enjoy it, why are you doing it?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's kind of, I guess that's the lesson we're teaching here. Yeah. If we're going to put a bow on
it's
top of it.
It's always our lesson, don't be a dick.
Always
a lesson.
Not just for this, but just for life in general. Don't be a dick.
Yeah.
Is that simple?
Because if you come in here like that, you will hit it right back from the moment you come in that door.
Right.
You come in like that, I will hand it right back to you.
Oh, yeah, I don't want to get on your bedside area. I can. I know that. Without seeing it, I know that.
Yeah.
Right? But no, you know, like from the minute we got here, you know, we felt like we were valued, you know, and that's a great feeling, you know, to have. And so therefore we had a great time here, you know, and I think we played a really good show here.
Yes, we did. Yeah.
And we felt really good when we were done.
All right. Played my heart out to the point. Third string, I popped the string. I'm like, oh my God, this place is going to be awesome.
Well, did you get your bass head fixed?
I'm working on it. When I get home today, I got a couple things to do today, and I don't want to get political, but I have to vote today to keep a certain somebody from, you know, getting too many percentage points in the Republican primary, because I knew who was going to win the Democratic primary.
It's the beautiful thing about being registered independent is you get to choose which primary.
Right. Yeah. Well, see, South Carolina, we have open primaries, so you can only vote in one, but you can vote in whichever one you want.
Right.
And, you know, and I don't want to piss off any supporters of that dude, but, you know.
I doubt anyone's watching this is even going to have a clue what you're talking about.
Right. So,
I don't know what we're talking about right now.
Right. So, you know.
I'm right. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Because, like, I don't want either one of them. You know, I don't want any of them that are on the back right now.
So anyway, your bass head will be fixed before you come here, right?
It's a cabinet.
Fix your head, man.
I think it's a cabinet, so I got to take a look at the cabinet. But it will be ready by the 15th.
Yeah. And if not, we can always use Brian's, because he brings way more than he needs.
Right.
He's got a big
old... He's prepared. Yeah, he's the Boy Scout.
Yeah. What's funny is, like, so my wife has a band, and Ethan, their bass player, he has the same exact cabinet that I do.
Oh.
So I can always borrow his.
There you go.
You know.
That's the reason you actually got that cabinet, right?
It is, because I borrowed it to play here, and I love the sound of it so much, I went and bought one, you know.
Right,
because,
like, the very first bass head, the first rig you're using was one of those old school custom tuck-and-rolls, playing through one of those. I mean, it sounded okay, but now we're going through. But with your current head playing through that cabinet, it's just like, oh, my God.
Yeah. I love the sound of it so much. Like, I stopped using pedals, you know, all that. The only pedal I bring is a tuning pedal now, you know, because I just love that the pure sound. It gets such a good low end and all that stuff.
Plus, you gotta yell at me a couple times to cut down my pedals too.
Yeah, well, yeah. Have you seen his pedal board?
No.
It looks like a suitcase you would take for like a month long trip to Europe.
I've seen several people do it. Yeah.
I think my wife could actually fit inside it.
Hey, if it works for Agent 47, it works for me.
So you know, I mean, these guys should talk.
So
he's like, this is how most conversations
go. I can talk about this shit on and on.
I can talk about this shit all day long.
That's what happens to me every time I smoke weed. Like, that's why I don't smoke weed. Because I'll find myself in the middle of a sentence being like, shut the fuck up, man. Like, what are you doing?
It's like, who's talking? Shut up. Oh, wait, that's me.
All right, so let's wrap it up, fellas. Squirt Vile, you can see them here Friday, March 15th with Long Shot Odds, with Skewer Rat and Trash Cannons. It's going to be, you know, it's St. Patty's weekend.
That's right.
Yeah.
We have a St. Patty's surprise for you guys.
We have more Rooster Red Ale.
Yes.
That went out real fast.
It really did.
Real quick, I'll just say this. Uh-huh. We collaborated with Cavendish Brewery to put together an Irish Red called Rooster Red Ale.
Nice.
I was like, let's do Rooster Red. Now, the reason that we did this with Cavendish, a while back, about a year or so ago, there's a brewery in Charlotte who will not be named that has a Red Rooster Ale. Mm-hmm. And I tried for a couple of months to get these guys to work with me to get their beer in here so we could sell. Their rep just wouldn't respond. I ended up talking with somebody in their office, mm-hmm. and like that went nowhere. I just could not get these guys to work with me. And when I finally got to talking to somebody, their pricing was kind of outrageous. I was like, I'll tell you what, I'll bring these two SKUs in at your regular price if you discount the red so I can make it a house beer. And they wouldn't do it. Mm. So I'm like, all right, fuck you then.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I started talking with the guy that owns the brewery here. And I was like, well, what do you think? I don't see an Irish Red. Like, have you ever tried an Irish Red? He's like, well, we tried it once right at the beginning, but we haven't tried it again. So I'm like, all right, well, let's do this. Let's make a red ale. And if it goes well, you know, we'll call it Rooster Red. It'll be our house beer. We'll sell it, blah, blah, blah. So they made a small batch.
Nice.
And hats off to Dennis. That dude is the man that comes to brewing beer. He brews a hell of a beer. So I went and tried it right before they canned it. Fantastic beer. I took a picture of the cup, posted it on social media, got a buzz going. That was a 5-barrel batch. They sold out. In the first weekend. Oh, wow. Three days.
That's awesome. Like a month?
And, no, we've had it on tap for two and a half weeks.
2.5 weeks, okay.
And I'm about, it's going to kick tonight. Yeah. Like, it's that is going, and then we're going to be out for another week and a half before, because they immediately made a bigger batch because it went so well. And my hope is that we can keep, my hope is that we can keep that. This, make this year round beer, and it can be our house beer.
So really, for a beer, you're making me want a beer, man.
Yeah. Right?
Just saying.
So we'll have Rooster Irish Red on tap for the show, and we're going to have a big old punk rock St. Patty's party.
Yeah.
And thanks.
And Mike, don't forget, we're also going to be here on 420.
That's right.
With Bedlam Hour, who are like heroes of mine. And like, I am so friggin' stoked about that.
So 420, 420 will be another punk rock show. Yeah. Now Bedlam Hour, I wanted Soda City Riot in here.
I know, I love them.
And unfortunately,
we played a couple shows with them, and we did. Billy Riot is like one of Columbia.
Billy Riot is so now in Bedlam Hour, and we're gonna get them here. They're, you know, that's, you know, I mean, they've been around for
ever. They're the OG.
Yeah,
you know,
I was trying to find the right adjective there to describe them. They're kind of legendary, I guess, is the word I would use to describe them. So that's something to look forward to, 420 punk rock show. So we're going to get drunk for St. Patty's. We're going to get high for 420. And we're going to listen to some punk rock. It's going to be fucking awesome.
Yeah, that's right.
It's Squirt Vile. You can find them on Facebook, Instagram. What else?
Bandcamp. We're still on Bandcamp. And we're on Spotify, but don't go there because we don't get paid.
go to Bandcamp and support them. You know, pay for the music, download it. You got it on your phone whenever you
want. Better come see us in person.
Yeah,
we got
a ton of merch.
We got a lot of merch. A lot and illustrated by my brother.
Yeah,
really gross, like Rat Fink style.
Yeah, you've seen our logo.
And our sponsors, Artsy Fartsy. They make phenomenal quality work, and they're great people too.
Artsy Fartsy Craft is our like merch manufacturer. They're local.
We know.
We know. They're one of our Misfit Market regulars.
So you know Daniel and the girls.
Shout out to our record label,
River Monster Records. Larry Parker.
Yeah, let's get all the plugs in.
Yeah, yeah. Right. It's sort of like after you win the NASCAR race. You know, you got to, you know.
Show us a little bank account, please.
You know, the Squirt Vile Chevrolet. Plug.
I'm seeing that scene from Wayne's World where they're in the jumpsuits, the Pizza Hut box.
And we'll be up here March 15th. We'll bring the Violator, our van, and...
It's going to get weird.
For all the sports.
It's
gonna get weird. Downtown Gastonia is going to get weird on Friday, March 15th. Come party with us. Guys, thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. No, thank you for having us.
Yeah.
Seriously. All right. Peace and love. We're out.